Greetings. I'm your host, James Gilliland, and I have co-hosts here, Nate and Spencer, and we're going to cover an amazing individual here. His name's James McBride, and he's the de jure Postmaster General of North America, and he's the keeper of the Extraordinary Seal of St. Peter and the primary trustee of the Global Estate Trust and founder of the New Country Without Borders Divine Province. And this is going to be an interesting interview. We've worked very hard and diligent on aligning with this, with Divine Province, and we've been working with the principles, and it's just been amazing what we've done so far, and along with other things, and Nate and Spencer here have been a godsend to keep our butt out of the frying pan, you know, and practice peace. And so now we've got the master of peace, James McBride. James, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thanks. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. For the listeners that haven't really heard of Divine Province, I know we're going to put a link up and they need to do their own homework to figure this out. But can you give us a brief overview on how Divine Province got started and really what is the main purpose of Divine Province?
Well, yes. Years ago, I figured out that, that the statutory law just didn't. Something was wrong with it, so I started studying other different kinds of laws, and I found that the entire world, my entire system operated in trust law. So once I started operating in trust law, I was able to document the breach of trust of the trustees and claim their position and move up the ladder and claim a higher and higher position. The post office system throughout the world is part of the trustees of the global trust. So once I claimed, I got to the level of claiming the office of the Postmaster General of North America, I sent that claim to the Universal Postal Union, and who sent it to the Vatican, who sent me the seal of St. Peter. As acknowledgement of my position as the Postmaster General of North America. Now, what that is like I say, is a trustee. Ultimately, in growing into the seal and seeing how it, what it's all about and how I use it and what it really is entailed, I found that we're able to make some very, very positive changes in the world. My whole platform is based on of peace and unity and love and compassion, and ending the cycle of war and conflict and pain and suffering, and moving into a system of where we can learn our lessons through love and compassion rather than pain and suffering. So that's kind of have moved forward from the authority of the Office of the Postmaster General, North America. Once I became aware of and grew into what the seal was, and that makes me the seal makes me the primary trustee of the global trust. So I started issuing orders and the directives in to the trustees throughout the world. And over the last year, and we've been able to make some very, very positive changes. We've we now have absolute global debt forgiveness. And this July 1st, we converted into a new economic banking system worldwide, into a system of value and substance. And all debt throughout the world was discharged. So what we're doing, and you, through Divine Province and the membership there, we are noticing and informing all the government officials, the banks, people all over the world, and people, our neighbors, our family and friends, that the debt has been discharged and what that means and how to settle your accounts that way. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're moving now. We've moved into operating in peace. And over the last couple of years in doing that, we've made huge, huge progress. For years and years, I was at war with the system. And I found that the more war I put out, the more war I got in return. So when I finally decided that that was not working out so well for me and that peace was the way to go, we've made huge progress. The whole world is in flux right now, and we're all changing and growing. We're moving into, like I say, in a whole new way of living. So that's what Divine Providence is about, is teaching the members or bringing members in and teaching them what this is about, guiding the way through this transition so that we now can assist others in making this transition as well.
It's definitely a lot of the laymen that don't know what we're talking about as far as the debt forgiveness and things like that. I don't know if you want to go into that about how their all caps name actually puts them into a position of slavery or as a pauper. And by removing yourself from that system, from that contract, you know, with the United States Corporation and stepping into a different divine being situation, you might say, totally changes the game.
Well, yes, we've been assumed to be these corporate fictions, these you know, throughout the years, and we didn't know that. You know, we were actually operating in the land of the dead, all legal fictions, nothing living. So that's where we've been stuck for years and years and years, and now we've awakened to the fact that we don't have to operate in the land of the dead, that we can identify ourselves and awaken to who we are and what's going on, and now we can begin to operate in the land of the living. And in doing that, making that distinction, you're making that shift from dealing in the legal fictions to now dealing as living beings.
So would that be like claiming that you are the beneficiary and that you're the live man, you know, appearing to handle that estate versus going in there as, let's say, Mr. James Gilliland? I would go in there and under a whole different identity.
Well, when you say go in there, I'm not quite sure where you mean.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you're going to go into court or deal with an issue, you know, you'd have to really set it up before you walked in there, because as soon as you step in there and you admit to the fiction and say you're that person, that all caps person,
well,
they got you.
The reality is everything has changed. Mm-hmm. Everything has changed from last month to this month. What you know, what everybody thought we had to do when you went to court last month. Why do you do all these things? Well, that's not true anymore. Whenever they discharged all the debt, that was an absolute game changer, and now we need to make the shift. Mm-hmm. Everybody's still concerned about going into court and establishing your jurisdiction and or lack of jurisdiction and how to operate this. Well, the reality is there are no more claims. All those claims have been discharged. So there's a whole new way of going into court and settling the matter. And when I say a claim, every speeding ticket, every traffic ticket, every civil action, all of those things are claimed. They're all financial transactions backed up by bonds and debt instruments. And when you have a conviction, you have a claim, and that's what they're prosecuting. All of those have been zeroed out and released. The same thing as our cars, all of our vehicles, they're all titled to the state because of the pledge of of our estate to the corporations to fund the or collateralize the bankruptcy. They had a lien on all of our property. Therefore, they could have they held the real title to the property, and they'd issue us a deed. Or a certificate of deed, and then they would issue us certificates of title. And that's because they really held the property because there was a lien against it. Now there are no more liens against that. That means all the properties been held by the banks, all of those properties are released. They no longer have any lien or any attachment to them. So, I mean, it's an absolute game changer. So now how do you go to court? And it's completely different than you would have a month ago. We found out now that the Vatican, Francis, issued an apostolic letter that literally stripped the immunity away from all government officials, all judges, all attorneys, all government officials throughout the world as of September 1st. That's a game changer. You know, now we can hold, you cannot hold, I mean, they still have immunity within their statutory system. But when they operate, continue to operate or prosecute their claims against a living being, after you object to that claim, now you can hold them accountable for war crimes, crimes against humanity, piracy, and treason.
Yeah, kidnapping.
So the whole thing, so everything is all different. Now, there is a window of a transitional window, and that is where they can continue to collect or prosecute their claims as long as you you don't object. Mm-hmm. And this is a 2 or 3 year window. Now, if you object, if you understand who you are and you understand that the debt's been discharged, then once you do that, once you notice them that, now, if they move forward, it's without consent, and it becomes a crime at that point, now punishable. So never before have we been able to hold them accountable for anything, because we were all operating in the land of the dead and they had absolute authority to do what they're doing. Now all that changed.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as this information coming down, how aware are they of it? I know it's probably our job to educate them, but can you give us some idea on how aware maybe a percentage of most judges or even lawyers or people within the system?
Absolutely. Yes, I can tell you it's very clear. It all depends on how active people in any given area are to educating the powers that be. We find in some places, actually, we're finding that all over, they're recognizing it. They understand who we are. They understand what's going on. In the last 2 weeks, we've had several people, that came out of court saying something has changed. Somebody has talked to them now because they now know. We're being acknowledged and recognized throughout all over the country, as divine providence. When we go to court, when we're stopped in traffic, everything is changing. Mm-hmm. They know who we are. And we, over the last week, we've gone into probably 6 different cases where we used this information that the debt had been discharged, and we backed it up with all different kinds of other stuff, and every one of them were dismissed.
That's awesome to hear. I know it's the duty of the DP members, and I know other organizations as well have figured this out. I mean, you took a much more solid approach, it seems, but it seems like the powers that were are getting hit from every angle right now from so many different methodologies. And now because of the trailblazing that you've done, I mean, this is even going to help people that are not part of Divine Providence.
Absolutely. You got to understand that, what we did was, what I was able to do by becoming the primary trustee of the Global Trust, it now gave me the power and authority to make some changes. And the first things we did were we made void several old, secret extreme oaths that binds the Jesuit generals, that binds the Bar Association members, that bind all members of every secret society in the world. And we were able to go back, and because I am a real party in interest to those original contracts that created those, go back and undo them. And that has been having a major effect. Now we've gone back and changed a couple laws, a couple treaties. I was party to proved that I was party, the correct party to a contract or a treaty back several hundred years that was very, very negative, that bound the powers to be to keep everything secret from us, to do whatever necessary to prevent us from knowing who we are and knowing the truth. Well, we're able to nullify those and change those. And now the system is affected by that. We're going in, and we have, you see that what's going through the Vatican, major, major changes. Like I say, they stripped immunity from anybody and everybody that operates under the Roman Curia, which is an entire world. They are becoming interested in rehabilitating the poor. They're calling him the paupers pope. And all of that is because of what we're doing in DP. You know, we created this, identified that we were all paupers, and that the church was responsible for that. And that's why it is said in the that the only redemption is through the Catholic Church, or through the Catholic, the Roman Pope. Mm-hmm. So we figured out how to make that happen. So we're now, the world is changing. We have discharged the debt. There are no longer any paupers. And now we're working on returning the property to the people. Mm-hmm. So with the leases being released from all property, now it's just a matter of the process, establishing the process and instituting the process for making the return of the property to the people.
Some people might not understand that, saying, oh, the redemption's only through the Catholic Church. Like, what is this guy talking about? This sounds like some religious stuff. But there's another meaning to that that you're getting at. Isn't there, JT? Can you kind of...
Absolutely. In the Vatican is there's two jurisdictions in the Vatican. There's the church and there's the state. There's the church, and that is all the religious part of it. And the state jurisdiction is the trustees. They are the global trustees, and it's a nice system for them, because it's easy to get, for everybody to get confused, and they believe them. You're talking about the trust, that you're talking about the religion. So yeah, what I'm talking about is through the Vatican is absolutely through the trustees, and that has absolutely nothing to do with the Catholic religion per se. So we are operating in the jurisdiction of the state or the trust.
Can you tell us a little bit about, does the Queen factor into this as well?
Well, yes. The Queen is part of the Vatican, and the whole thing, you know, as the Protestant Church, or the Church of England. You know, so that's basically the female energy to the Vatican male energy. So that's the balance that... Mm-hmm. Has been out of balance and out of whack and diseased for many, many years. So,
and then they've signed off as well as.
Yes. Yep. They're all on board.
Boy, I mean, this is such a game changer, as you said, and this is like amazing news. And I know we're going to do our part to get this out to the masses as much as possible. But I'm really hoping this hits mainstream news here real soon, so people can kind of wake up and figure out what's really going on.
Well, and the reality is we have to be very careful on how it is broadcast and how the people are informed. If they just put it out on ABC News, mm-hmm. They would probably cause chaos. Yeah. We do need to have a transition, but they want a 3-year transition, and I'd like to see a 6 to 9 month transition. So it's a matter of waking people up, but waking people up in stages, that, you know, so that we can keep this organized. There's many, many people in, you know, that has been in this movement, have done their homework. They understand how the system works, and they understand how we got here. And so these are the people that we're informing, and, you know, first, because they more easily adapt. And so we now have a structure to go out and in the neighborhoods and bring in and educate even more people. So now right here from DP, we're sending out thousands and thousands of letters every week that going to all over the world, educating, and mostly over the United States here, educating the system on the change. And it's really, really having this effect. The members are all participating. We create a set of documents for the members to and assist them in this educational process. If you go to the website, divineprovince.org, we have a public side and a private side. That there's a lot of information on that. There's also, we have created the chairofstpeter.org, which is a public site that you can go on. There's a lot of information on there. We set that up for police departments, government agencies, attorneys, so that they can say, because we've had a lot of them coming to me and wanting information. You know, they're just as, when they're off duty, they're just like us. They have mortgages. They have cars. They are affected by foreclosure and all the same things and high taxes that we are. So they are finding they're asking questions too. So we creating that site, which it tells us how we got to where we are. It shows you within their law a lot of the reason why we believe that the income tax is voluntary. Why we didn't need driver's license or plates on our cars. And this is all information we're putting up that it's very good foundational information that anybody that's new to this can go to, and they can get themselves up to speed and get a good foundational idea of how we got here and what the real problem is. And then there's a solution. So we're constantly moving forward. This is all very new. We're developing this as, you know, as it unfolds. And assisting in people educating. So we're going to be putting up more and more documents. We're processes to assist the people and continue to educate the world what's going on.
Great. I know I have to give Nate and Spencer here kudos, because they've flooded all the agencies here, you know, with the paperwork, and you know, we've been a real thorn in their butt. And a matter of fact, they welcomed us never to come back. And so.
You see, that's not the peaceful way to do that.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
just,
whenever you got to understand that the situation is, I mean, there are public servants, and it's our job to re-educate them.
Yeah.
They are just as programmed as we, and we got to stop that war and antagonistic mentality, because when that's what you put out there, that's what you get back.
Yeah,
when
we
you
we
put
totally
out
came
peace
in peace
and love and compassion out there, and we're wanting to educate them rather than be a thorn in their side.
Yeah,
then they open up to be educated.
Well,
okay,
we came
it's your
in there
intent.
As peace, though. We did come in there as peace, and we told them we come in peace and as an educational process. But we tried not to be a thorn in their ass, and we kept apologizing. Hey, I'm sorry if this has created any conflict. You know, we're just trying to understand this and get through it. And they did an excellent job of that, of smoothing things out and getting them to but you know, after all was said and done, I know they were highly educated after the experience. And, but at the same time, their brains are a bit frazzled on having to.
Well, yes, and that's
everything.
Why we have been developing and been using some processes where we notify them in document form, you know, in advance. We're doing the whole process, which it educates them, so that you don't have to have try. You're not trying to do that when you're standing in front of them in the courtroom.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a proper way to do this, and it's we're developing that process and experimenting with it and getting very. Quite good at it, so we're getting ready to open that up and teach people around the country how to really do that. But in that is education. You have to participate in the education. We've been saying, you know, for a long time over, you know, that those people that are doing and putting in the time and the effort to notice people and send these documents out, those are the people that are having the greatest success. So. It's a thing. Now is the time to participate in creating our new world. You know.
Well, I agree. I mean, one of the things we keep running into is people keep waiting for everybody to do it for them. You know, and they well tell me when it's fixed, and tell me when it's over, and tell me when we're free and everything. You know, that same old thing. You know, heal me, fix me, educate me. And we run into that a lot here as well, and we've been very staunch about that, about having people do their own process and do their own study and you know, get involved in the process.
Right. Well, you know, and it's very important, because we got to this point because we continued to give our power away, say, here, get this, fix this for me.
Yeah.
And in the process, we gave up responsibility and accountability. So, I mean, the shift is about, you know, just that, being responsible of yourself, you know, and taking back your power. Mm-hmm. You know, and the reality is there's many that are kind of slow in taking it back, and that's okay. They are where they are. But the universe will continue to nudge them towards, you know, making the right decisions and moving into a new way. So,
well, there's such a long history of disempowerment and enslavement on the planet, and that before, you know, they used to have to, you know, get their guns out and blow their horns and do this and that and get people to go where they wanted to go. And now people actually lead themselves and they lead each other, you know, off the abyss, you know, unfortunately. But now I'm seeing there's a huge awakening where it got to that level and it got so bad that people are finally saying, hey, wait a second. You know, it's like and their own divine essence or soul is being awakened. And it seems like now they're standing up saying, hey, I am a divine being. I have divine rights. And starting to tell the powers to be that, you know, it's time to acknowledge this and operate, you know, accordingly.
Yes. Well, yes. And the energy of freedom has been swirling around the world for some time, is getting more and more powerful. So we're seeing that all over the place. People are demanding, you know, this all this BS that we put up with for all these is going to end. Mm-hmm. And we're taking back our power. So it's an exciting time to be alive on Earth today, you know, with all this stuff going on, and be a party to it, is even more exciting. So we are in the process of creating our new world. You know, and it kind of struck me, and I was pretty forcefully informed through the universe that it was time to stop putting our energy into the old way and continue to turn around and be the creators that we are. When we stop focusing on the problem and just start creating and putting our energy into the solution, we're beginning to manifest a very nice a world. So we invite everybody to make that shift from the old way to the new way, to a new way of thinking and of peace and abundance and prosperity. And we welcome you to come to Divine Province and learn about what that's about. How do you live in peace? Because let's face it, we've been living in a state of war for our entire lives, and it's very hard to really discern what really is a peaceful existence all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like it takes a period of time in order for us to repattern ourselves. You know, JT a minute ago might have been somewhat critical of just some of the use of James's language, and trying to point out about the going to peace and some of the negative language and like war type language that we don't even think about, that we have just programmed into ourselves from a lifetime of, you know, of whatever.
That's absolutely true. It's all programming. We don't even understand, we don't realize what is coming out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. And we have to become more and more aware of that. And I'm pretty quick. I find that part of my, I claim this part of my mission is to make people aware of that, you know, so because it is an easy switch. It's just a matter of being aware of it. Once you learn that our words and our thoughts are the building blocks of creation, then you know how important what you're saying and thinking matters or means to ourselves and to the world. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, when we finished over there at the courthouse, we invited them all out to lunch and we said, hey, you know, let's try some different circumstances. You know, we're really loving peaceful, you know, if you want, let's just go out to lunch, you know, and hang out and get to know each other, you know. and then we bought them some flowers after it was all over and dropped flowers off, you know. So yeah. we definitely pushed that end of it quite a bit, you know, to let them know, you know, we're not here at war, you know, we're not against anybody. We're just here to find a solution and one that empowers all of us and respects our divine rights as well.
We are also creating, just now developing a monitoring, a court monitoring a group or system where we're going to be doing webinars and training classes and practical real life experience. And how to go in and educate the courts and to go in and monitor what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's been very, very effective. So that's another thing we're doing. We're out there. We're actively participating in educating our public servants to the new way of doing business. So we invite everybody to participate. Everybody wants, cries about wanting to be able to participate in making change and making this world a better place. Well, the time is here. We now know how to do that. We're now doing it. We invite you to come and join us in creating a new and better world, a world of peace, prosperity, and abundance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So JT, you're alluding to that people who are not even DP members are going to be available for them to have an objection or, maybe do their own notice, some way of objecting to alleged debts that are going to be wiped out.
Yes, we're working on developing a couple things. We find it our duty. It's not just we are a brother's keeper, and I don't think that it's necessary. I can't bring myself to make it a requirement that people become a member of DP to have the solution. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be creating a system to assist them in how to do it. We're going to create a system that where they can actually go online and punch in their information, and it'll kick out the documents for them. It'll email and fax them and hard copy them and all kinds of things to their respondents and to them. So we're creating systems like that to assist all people in how to take care of these things, to settle these accounts.
That's interesting. Okay, so JT, are debts that are after the date of 7/1, are they valid still though? Any new debts that are coming in?
Yeah, we don't have all the details on how all that's going to work. Well, it depends on the terms of how that debt was created. It was created in the fiat system, or it was created in the substance system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're in the middle of a transition, and September 1st is a big, important time. I believe that's when the actual transition is going to happen. After that, they no longer have any immunity, so now there's it's a major shift in how things operate. So,
JT, when you made the announcement last week on the webinar about the debt being set off, is there other points of law or backup or authorities that other people would be citing to know that this has happened, or it has the reason this has happened been because of the letters patent that you've put out?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's really important who made it happen. Mm-hmm. The reality is it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's now it falls on us just to educate people. There's going to be people that doubt it, and that's okay. It'll all come out in the public here sooner or later. There is a transitional window.
Mm-hmm.
The United States is reluctant to make the announcements. Why? Because they fully intend to exploit this transitional window as long as they can.
Mm-hmm.
They can exploit that for up to, I believe it's 3 years. If nobody wakes up, if nobody challenges the debt, then they can finally make these announcements. It's a matter of how fast, how short this transitional window is how fast we wake up. So that's what we're doing, is just trying to making that available to, trying to educate all the people.
Now, this process that we're undergoing, I know we've been pretty enslaved through dependency, and the lack has been manufactured. Is this going to open up prosperity and abundance for everyone when we finally get to the end of this process? And maybe you can touch on that subject a little bit.
Yeah, well, the reality is everything out there is a direct reflection of what is of us, or what is within us. And we keep expecting the system to change. As soon as there's abundance out there, then I'll have abundance in here. But that's backwards. We can't, as long as we're sitting and waiting for abundance, we're never going to have it. It is us and our mentality that moving from the mentality of lack and want to a mentality of abundance and prosperity that will make the prosperity be there, a manifest. And so that's what's happening. We are, as a group, the world, we are raising our consciousness, and we're gradually moving in that direction. But it's a mistake to think that you can sit there and wait, and there's going to be a black card or some magical, $1 million dropped in your lap. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of going out there and being prosperous, being abundant, giving and generous with yourself, with your life energy, with your love, with your compassion. Once we start being generous with those things and have being abundant in those things, then we'll attract all the abundance in the world that we want and need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Rather than, as in everything, if you're seeking love and acceptance and approval outside of yourself, and your abundance and everything else, it's you're giving your power away, and there'll be those that'll jump into those positions and use it against you down the road. So it's all a matter within.
We all want to say it was their fault. They did it. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't. It's their fault. It's never, and that's just a lack of accountability. We refuse to be accountable for our actions. The reality is, our reality today is a direct result of all of our acts, deeds, and decisions of the past. If we hadn't chose this path, we wouldn't be here. All right. Well, it isn't based on somebody else. So if we are our reality is based on or a result of our decision. I've been a longtime warrior, and I was very good at it. But the more I warred, the better I was, the more powerful I became, the more the resistance. And it was always the same end result. I end up getting beat up. So when I went to peace, now in learning how to go to peace, how to live in peace, I found that. That's what I've created as a reality of peace. Now, I can see the chaos, and I can see the violence and all the crazy stuff around me. It's still out there, but it doesn't touch into my life. It doesn't touch into my reality. And it's something it's just a matter of changing our perspective, changing the way we think.
Yeah, it definitely. I know there's so many studies on the morphogenic field and how one person who is holding the energy of peace and love and compassion affects millions of people around them, because those are such high frequencies or high vibrations. And I think once people finally understand what unity consciousness means and how their consciousness can play an active part in changing the whole world and how it can affect the whole world, then we're going to really see the changes come.
Well, everybody's afraid of when we kind of the unity consciousness, they've trained us to believe, oh no, he's talking about the one world government.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, because if you really know what's going on in the world together, you know that we've been under the one world government for several thousand years.
Yeah.
And the way they kept us from figuring that out was keep telling us, oh, beware of the one world government, which is coming. We are under that, and that has been why we're coming. And now we're able to change that one world government into releasing all us from the bonds and taxes and stuff that bind us. So
yeah,
back into freedom and living beings.
This is a little off subject, but it really makes a point home. It's the same thing with the UFO subject. Is everybody goes, oh, they're going to come and they're going to steal our natural resources and they're going to enslave us and they're going to do this and do that. And I said, so where would the change be?
Absolutely.
I said, it really can't get any worse. I said, you're already enslaved. You're already destroying the planet. It's like, how can it get any worse?
Yeah.
So there's the only way to go is up, So,
absolutely.
So
it's really exciting. I am, somebody, people say I'm a little gruff and I'm not not a great bedside manner, but, it's hard to wake people up. It's hard for me to wake up. And so, but I know, that what it took for me to wake up. And so, I find that, sometimes it's, you just have to shake somebody and you have to tell them and, call them on their, what they're doing. So,
oh yeah. Yeah, I catch myself.
I try to do it with as much love as I can, but sometimes it just comes out a little.
Well, I even catch myself doing it a lot of times. I go, wow, I'll say, well, I'll try to do that. And I go, I got to stop saying try. Okay, I will do that, And things like that. It's just a long history of language that we've learned over the years that we need to really invoke the power of manifestation and know that our words are law and our words manifest. And so we have to be kind of diligent and observe ourselves how we use those words.
Yes, absolutely. It's a good game to play with each other, calling each other, and we do that a lot here in the office and actually with family and friends. We'll call each other on their language. Mm-hmm. Wait, what are you trying to create? Think about what you just said. Mm-hmm. That way, when somebody calls you on, you think about what you said. Holy, I was really creating something quite negative there and didn't really realize it. And all out of just programming, So. We were enslaved in part because the powers that be realized how powerful we were as creators. And so they fed us this doubt and fear and tricked us into creating a negative reality for ourselves. So now that we finally wake up to how powerful we are and that we are responsible and we are accountable for our reality. Now we have the choice to create a great, wonderful reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked a lot about that, how, worry is a form of prayer. Whatever you're worrying about is going to manifest, and so is fear. So we have to really be conscious of what we're fearing and what we're worrying about. And when it comes into our lives, we need to catch ourselves and go, wow, I need to start creating a little different reality here.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. It's a process, and it's something we all need to be patient and gentle with ourselves. But we also still need to be diligent in calling ourselves on our own stuff, mm-hmm. being aware of what we're doing and saying.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so, JT, before in the conversation, we were kind of talking about this information going mainstream, the information about your position as the primary trustee did go mainstream fairly recently in the last couple of months. Was it CNN or 2020?
Yeah, 2020.
Had a short piece. I was wondering if you would, could just kind of share your thoughts on that after that whole experience has happened and it had gone out and you guys had also shared some of the footage that didn't air. Would you mind talking about that a little bit?
Well, I don't know really what there's to talk about. It was an interesting situation. It got did what it was supposed to do. We were able to capture a great deal of several hours of the filming and put it up. So I felt quite good about how it was. And I've been involved in several interviews like that in the past, and it doesn't matter who what you are. If they want to vilify you, they're going to take what you say and vilify you. So,
I'm privy to that one quite a bit, where they twist it and then they bring the debunkers on and then they try to make you look like a kook. And you can be standing there with all the evidence and all the paperwork and all the backup you have. And it just doesn't matter if that's the direction they want to go in, but you can always.
I've finally become okay with being called crazy and a kook. That's okay.
Yeah.
I like being
called insane because I'm insanity. The rest of the world is out of sanity,
Right. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought that despite, that there maybe being somewhat of an agenda from just the mainstream media, that there was a lot of really positive points that still shine through in the stories.
Absolutely.
So I just thought it was like, this is amazing that this is on mainstream television. So.
Yeah.
But again, we'll probably throw a link to that. If we put this thing out afterwards, we'll throw links to both of those. The little link of what was in the interview, and then some of the stuff that didn't make it onto the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I know people. It's strange, but the masses will say, "Well, has this been on?" They just validate everything. Well, has this been on mainstream news? And then you give them a little clip and they go, oh, wow, it has, And then they're open to accepting it, which is kind of sad. But that's just the way it goes. And right. I noticed when they, like Hannity came out here with Fox News and some other ABC's been out here, NBC, all those guys, History Channel, everything. And when you show people, well, yeah, it has aired. And all of a sudden they go, oh, okay. And then they accept it. And it's amazing how that mindset works. You know, if it hasn't hit mainstream news, it's not real, you know, for that reality.
That's it. That's true. All of that is changing there. All of that is changing. Everything is changing, you know?
Yeah, so. I haven't watched TV since 70s. I think 76, I think, was the last time I had a TV. And I haven't missed it a bit.
Yeah, we are, we've been moving forward and just creating a new world and educating. And we invite people in to assist in that. So It's a great time to be alive and well on Earth and be part of creating something new.
You know, we're coming up close to the end of the hour. We've got just a few minutes left. But, this is just amazing. I can't thank you enough for, you know, your pioneering work. I know you probably don't want us to talk about that, but I know you've paid the price and spent your time, you know, under the thumb of these guys, which is part of the process. And again, I can't thank you enough for that, you know, having been in that boat myself. But I think this is just amazing, and especially this information about the 7/1, you know, the July 1st debt relief. I mean, that is global breaking news.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah,
it's definitely huge.
That's a big event, and you know, I have some other people, some other radio shows that I can put you on to that are totally aware of a lot of this process and would love to have you inform them about what's going on as well. So I'll hook you up with them and they're
all right.
They're very user friendly, you know?
Okay, good. Because it's time now. That's what I'm trying to do, is get the information out there as much as we can. That's, and draw them into the websites and, you know, so we can educate people. The faster we educate people, the faster we see this change for ourselves too.
JT, I have a question. You were brought up the topic of educating judges and courts. And so it's been my experience that regardless of truth or fact that's brought up, if they want to shun those concepts, they have a lot of powerful tools to do so. So what point of law or sort or site do you bring up along with this education to say this isn't just a subjective opinion?
When you really get down to the brass tacks, trust me, they understand. You got to understand, they have had full authority to do everything they've been doing to us. Sure. We have given them full authority to do that. Yeah. Now, you have to understand what the real deal is and start changing that. That's why we haven't had success. But the reality is, you pointed the papal letter the other day, the apostolic letter, which absolutely strips them of their immunity after September 1st. That's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm telling you, you go in, you tell that judge, hey, this debt's discharged. And after September 1st, if you continue to try to prosecute this against me, I can have you charged with war crimes and crimes against humanity.
Uh-huh. And that's,
trust me, they understand.
And that's the letter written July 1st, effective September 1st.
No, it was July 11th.
July 11th.
Now, is this paper going to be available to people? So beforehand, like you're saying, you want to educate the officialdom, you know, there ahead of time before you walk into the court or anything else. So they'll have this paperwork saying this is what's going on. The debt's been discharged, and you know I'm no longer.
Well, if they take the steps to get the papers prior to then, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Which goes back to personal responsibility again.
Right, right. You know, I mean, we're doing as much as we can to educate as many as possible, but. You know, is that going to be, you know, fast enough for Joe Blow and, you know, in Timbuktu? Probably not if Joe Blow doesn't get off the couch and do his own educating.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's it all depends on the participant how much you want to put into your freedom, mm-hmm. how much you want to put into changes this world. You know, do you really care about changing this world, or is it all just lip service? And if you're really into it, then you get up, you educate yourself, and there are ways of handling all this stuff now. So
yeah, and you know, thanks to your organization and your trailblazing and the work that you've done and others, and I think you know. I think one of the main things is that, as you said, you know, we are a brother's keeper, and we all need to work together, you know, to bring this about. And I really love the idea that you're making all this available to people, even outside the organization, which needs to happen. And it does seem there's about five different angles coming up where people are going in the same direction, you know, mm-hmm. you know, using a little different method. But so far, after looking at all the different methods, it seems like the path that you've taken has the highest authority and is pretty solid and
and we're making change.
Yeah.
That's the key. We are changing things. And you can see in some of the, you know, I can show you a progression of letters and things that are going on that it's pretty clear who's in charge and what's going on, but there is change going on.
Yeah. Well, we've got just a minute left. And so, we're coming up to the end of the hour. We've got to wrap this up, unfortunately, but I think this is just an amazing and empowering information if people get off their butts and do something with it. And I can't thank you enough for all the pioneering efforts you've done to bring this about. And I can't recommend enough that people, you know, go to divineprovince.org and do their own research and educate themselves and empower themselves as well.
Absolutely, and we hope to be coming out there to the ranch and seeing you here in not too distant future.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great. I can't wait till you get up here.
All right. You guys have a good evening. I appreciate you having me on.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on and taking up some of your valuable time, and keep up the great work.
All right, thanks. Have a good evening, guys.
So there's a little bit of time that was left after recording with JT. There's about a good 5 minutes left after that, and originally we tried to record a little piece of audio just to give a little bit more context to that, but as happens at the ranch sometimes, there was a few anomalies and a little bit of interference, and the audio didn't really turn out so well. And so James took off. He's doing a big thing over in Joshua Tree this weekend, but I got Spencer Barclay on the line here, and he was just going to throw down a little bit of extra context about a couple of points that we talked with JT about. So, Spence, you were going to talk about maybe some of the presumptions about most people's status and why people might want to change their status, and then a little bit extra context about the bankruptcy that mm-hmm. JT was talking about.
Yeah, JT was speaking about the bankruptcy in context without any background on it. And so I'm not sure that everybody knows or that people know that one of the qualifying requirements to be a member of the United Nations is that the country is bankrupt. It's insolvent. So all 104 whatever nations, they deal on the paper standard, not the gold standard, and that is a bankrupt entity. And so when he said bankruptcy, he's talking about the debt that's owed back to the central governments, like in the case of the United States, the Federal Reserve. And so the deficit and the debt owed to those guys is the bankruptcy. And so that's been paid back and then some. And so what happened was the United States kept paying that back plus interest because of people failing to object. And there's finally been enough people to correct that system and to attempt to correct the system that they had to respond and reply to that objection. And this is not something that's in the mainstream news. So if this made it, you know, on a mainstream news broadcast, I can't even imagine the public reaction. It would probably be like a stampede, you know. And the other thing was the presumption of status from the point of view of the federal government and governmental entities is that people generally are considered the status of a person and not people, and that is a completely different status. And so where people can go and see that just as plain as day and absolutely no controversy is you can go look up a United States code, and it's 5 USC 552A. And then if you go down to number 13, it says that it's super short and just easy to read. It says the term federal personnel, it means officers and employees of the government of the United States. And how they and the defining characteristic of those of officers or employees is that they're entitled to receive immediate or deferred retirement benefits under any retirement program of the government of the United States. And so how many people do you think have Social Security numbers, Social Security accounts, which is a retirement program that's deferred, doesn't need to be immediate? And so, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but, you know, everybody that's been here a generation and isn't an illegal or undocumented alien, it probably has that paperwork and that accounting and is presumed to be federal personnel. And so that's why when it comes to the federal government getting too big for its britches with like FEMA camps and FEMA stuff going on, that's how it is that they can act on people because their status has been lowered to personnel. And so a company always can call the shots and say where their employees are going to be, you know, where their desk is going to be in the office and what their hours are going to be and where they're going to work, you know, because that's the status relationship. So anyway, I wasn't sure if people had that kind of technical background, and JT talks about it. He knows it so well, he just jumps right into it.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, with that in mind, that's the reason why we might want to do something about correcting our status.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, and certainly JT has developed a pretty interesting system for doing that. Not that it's the only way of doing it. We know we've been talking with a lot of different people who've been exploring various avenues of ways to correct their status.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and you know, I did that talk at the conference this summer, and one of the things that I stressed, and it might not have had enough context, was we can get way out and overreact and get in over our heads. And on my PowerPoint snapshot, I had a picture of a little kid, a 4-year-old kid sticking a butter knife into the wall socket. You know, it's a little attempt at humor as well. But the point is, we cannot know what we're getting ourselves into and get way ahead. And so I've had people this last week asking me about completely killing those numbers, you know, completely destroying those accounts. And in my opinion, that's an overreaction, taking it too far. And so I guess I would just want to add, you know, learn more, quite a bit, and have time to digest the information before people go to an emotional reaction or think that they know exactly what's going on. It takes time and different sources to kind of triangulate, digest this info before you go just reacting to it. How about this? You know, there are some alternatives to either the Divine Providence website or just this from a point of resource for knowledge, and 1215.org, which is Bill Thornton's website, is great. And Creditors and Commerce is also another commercial website or a website that discusses principles of commerce, and so is Winston Shrout. Winston Shrout Solutions in Commerce are some sources to go find info to kind of triangulate some of the things that JT talks about.
Well, it looks like that's about all the time. We got to wrap it up. So big thanks to Spencer for coming on. Big thanks to JT and to all the Divine Providence crew. And until next time, we'll catch you later. Be well. Hi, hi.